It was the evening of November 14th, 2007, when a group of intrepid bloggers stormed the inner sanctum of a fancy-schmancy New York hotel. Among their number was a rather strange individual, who referred to himself only as our young roving correspondent. He asked strange questions of fancy, elegant, genteel, and sociable writers, and confused one National Book Award winner when he addressed him on a controversy concerning something involving being his Facebook friend. This is a collection of our young roving correspondent's efforts. Listen, if you dare.
Okay, so I'm here with Sherman Alexie, who is nominated for Tell Us About Us. Do you have any chance of winning, really, or are you just here for the free booze?
I think I have a chance. You know, the other books are great, and Adventures of Hugo, the Hugo Cabret book is really amazing. So, you know, I would venture that's the odds-on favorite. So Brian Selznick's book, yeah. But it's good to be here. Everybody looks pretty. So,
do I look pretty? You look pretty.
Very pretty, in fact. You look your beard looks nicely trimmed, and it has the auburn highlights in it. So
yeah, it's like 3 weeks growth.
All right, yeah. So there you go. Is it for luck or something? Did you not?
Well, for the winter, actually. Oh. I thought I'd look distinguished this way, but this is about you, not me.
So I can't grow. Well, I can grow a beard, but only in like 3 spots. So I'd look rather Ewok-like, I think.
Maybe you should try for a Van Dyke. But you know, forget about this. What about, like, do you think that the attention drawn to this book will detract from attention from your other books?
Oh, no, I don't think so at all. By and large, right now, a lot of the sales have been my adult fans already, so it's just now starting to make its way more into the young adult world. So I think my already fans have come, and there's new fans. So I think it just broadened my audience.
Were there any advantages or disadvantages writing for young adult as opposed to regular fiction? But if assuming that we call regular one genre or the other.
Yeah, the disadvantages are is that a certain segment of the literary population takes us far less seriously. They're just jerks. But the advantages are your audience is far more openly passionate. When you go into a high school and you meet these young folks, there is no artifice. There is no jaded 16-year-old. It's love and adulation and honesty. Because if they don't like your book, they'll tell you that too. So it's far more honest in the YA world.
Well, Sherman, thanks so much for taking time out to chat. I'll let you talk to other people.
Thank you.
Yeah. And grow Van Dyke.
Yes. Okay.
Thanks.
Get out on the floor. Do things to make them adore you. Show them why you were born. Don't tell me what time it is now. Don't tell me what time it is.
Okay, I'm here with Fran Lebowitz, who is emceeing tonight. Fran, any tips on how to emcee a major award ceremony like this?
They only made, well, I did this last year.
Yes.
The important thing is not to prepare.
Not to prepare.
Not to prepare.
Expect the unexpected.
Yeah, well, that way you bring a certain freshness to the thing.
Do you think award ceremonies are in an innate kind of stale state when it comes to, you know, their actual qualities?
Well, only the ones that have entertainment with them, you know. This is not entertaining.
You're not entertaining, you say?
No, I said only the award ceremonies that are meant to be entertaining.
This is not meant to be entertaining.
This will surprise you if it's entertaining. In other words, there's no singing and dancing. That's what I meant. It's very helpful to have no actual entertainment.
Then what is the purpose of this ceremony?
To give the National Book Awards.
So award ceremonies, by their regular feature, are just not entertaining. They shouldn't be entertaining.
Well, they should not. No. What I'm saying is, like, the Oscars and the Tonys, they have all this entertainment at the show.
Yeah.
When all people there care about is who won.
Yeah.
Here, we do not distract you with singing and dancing. That's what I meant.
Gotcha.
And that's why it's shorter.
Some might argue that you're the entertainment.
I don't think that would be an argument. I think that would be a fact. But I don't sing or dance.
So you're not an entertainer, or you're a lesser entertainer?
No, I'm a verbal entertainer.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Fred.
Can I just ask a question? First of all, I've been a fan since Metropolitan Life. It's great to meet you. Do you think that any political fighting will break out on stage tonight with this volatile crowd?
You mean political,
arguments
political?
About Iraq.
No, I think this is a pretty homogeneous crowd politically.
Yeah, okay.
I think the worst fears of the Republicans have come true here. The left is a bunch of eggheads. And this is an egghead bunch.
Are you going to say that on stage? Please do. Go for it.
Maybe you could cluck on stage.
I'm sorry?
You can cluck on stage if you're...
Me? I can't cluck even off stage.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Brad. Nicholas LeBlanco.
Exactly so. Here to cheer on friends who are the people with things around their neck and who will be standing on stage sometime soon.
You make it sound like a noose.
Well, I was actually the chairman of the fiction panel here a few years back, and it did feel a bit like a serious enterprise, and that those who fell off the platform would have their legs kicking.
But this mandatory requirement of medals, do you think it sort of detracts? It makes them look like racehorses instead of authors.
They are all to be honored in whatever way. And if they have to wear one of these things and take them home and show them to grandchildren, that's fine too.
But there's also the possibility that you might be having to wear one of those things perhaps in the future.
There's also the possibility that I'll be recruited by the New York Knicks. Or... that I'll win the Nobel Peace Prize, but I don't go to sleep.
You want to work me into the interview?
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
I bet on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Playing a cardboard belt.
Exactly so.
Fantastic. That was Jim Shepherd. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Nick.
Good luck.
All right. Take care. Jim Shepherd, whiskey is the way to actually prepare for a nomination here at the National Book Awards. It's the only method.
Whiskey is pretty much my way of preparing for almost anything, really. Dealing with the children, reading, going out for a walk. I find it helps in almost any situation. And in this case, we're headed for like 4 hours of sitting in a chair. So the whiskey will help enormously in that regard, I think.
Do you think you have a chance tonight? And has the award actually helped you in terms of sales and attention?
Everybody has a chance. I mean, it's a sort of a crapshoot. One candidate said to me, it's kind of a loaded crapshoot, but it's still a crapshoot. So I go into it thinking pretty much anything could happen. What happens if you put five writers in a room and ask them to agree on something? That's totally unpredictable. I don't think even it's hard to imagine anyone thinking that I would be anything like a favorite, but of course I have some sort of chance. But I think that, in fact, I'm just delighted to be a nominee, because being a nominee, if you're as obscure as I am, means being vaulted into a level of visibility that I'm not even used to. I mean, there are a lot of booksellers out there who are like, who is this guy? You know, and you know, they don't pay that much attention to literary fiction, but they get all of the National Book Award finalists.
But do you think that this will really help people to read your work seriously? I mean, it's just an award.
Oh, I don't think it's so much a matter of, I should take him more seriously now that he's an NBA finalist. I don't think that's it at all. The sort of people who would be impressed by the literary qualities of the award would already probably have decided whether or not they want to read me. I think it's more a matter of, in literary fiction, getting on some people's radar. And those aren't particularly literary figures. Those are booksellers and people like that.
I'm wondering if you do have a chance, because, I mean, they gave it to Volman, they gave it to Powers, and here you are kind of the left field candidate, and sometimes that actually happens, and Dennis Johnson isn't here, so.
Then, you know, I don't think Dennis being here or not here has anything to do with anything. I mean, Dennis is an amazing writer, and if someone said to me off the top of my head, you know, who should win, I would say Dennis. I mean, he should win. It's a wonderful book, and it's a wonderful career he's had so far, so he would have to be the favorite, I would think. But if you look at the history of the National Book Awards, it's not particularly logical all the time. So for that reason, I'm not standing here going, well, there's no point in even being here. And also, as I said, the nominee is, just being a nominee is so wonderful. So.
But the whiskey is the one constant.
The whiskey is the big constant, really. Okay. And that's what we're here for.
Well, thanks a lot, Jim. Take care.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks. All right. I'm actually wearing a tie, believe it or not. I'm here because you were the tuxedo here, so there you go.
So,
Steve, any sort of hard predictions? I'm here with Steve Wasserman.
Well, I want my man to win, Christopher Hitchens, who I represent, who's up for an award. And, of course, I'm rooting for him. But I make no predictions.
Is Hitch around tonight?
Yes, absolutely, he's around.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. artistic. So you're pretty much concerned with that award. And the what do you think of award ceremonies in general? Do they really promote the discussion of literature?
Well, anything that any form of hucksterism that can get people in under the tent, I'm for. Do they promote literature? Up to a point.
Yeah. But do they promote serious reading of literature? I mean, it's just a matter of handing out awards, isn't it?
I think they do, up to a point. But there are many, many awards. And sometimes I think no book in America, however mediocre, goes unrewarded.
Gotcha. Well, thanks a lot, Steve. Take
You're
care.
Welcome.
All right. Okay, Tayari. You have just been confused with another African-American person. What is going on here in the publishing industry?
Well, it's like I'm black, and there's a young black woman gave a reading last night, but she's actually younger than me because I'm over 35. I was too old. And the woman said, I loved your reading. I just thanked her on behalf of my people. I just thanked her.
Is this the problem with the publishing industry or the National Book Foundation?
Maybe it's just a problem with that one woman. And I tell you, I don't turn down compliments. I don't care if they're not intended for me.
How did you actually make your way into this? Who did you have to go ahead and charm for this kind of thing? Or is it a matter of, you know, being African-American?
No, actually, my friend Natasha Trethway is a judge, and so she brought me along. She's judging the poetry.
How do you feel about this whole National Book Award business? This is my first one, too.
You know, it's kind of a novelty for me. It's fun. It's like writers pretending to be cool. I love it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, T.R. Okay, I'm here with Sarah Zarr, who's nominated for the Young Adult. Tell us what the book is about.
It's called Story of a Girl, and oddly enough, it's a story of a girl. And I know that's shocking. And it's a family drama about a girl who is sort of defined by one mistake she's made in her past, and it's 3 years later, and she's sort of experiencing the fallout from that time with her family and friends, and sort of her struggle back to redemption.
Has the award nomination been helpful so far in drawing attention to the book?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Even being a finalist, even if I don't win, it's great for the book. It sort of guarantees a longer life for the book, and I've definitely heard from more adults anyway. One writer friend said, "You're still the same writer you were yesterday, it's just more grown-ups are paying attention." So I've had a lot of good interaction with teens over the last year, but now with an award nomination, definitely more grown-ups are paying attention.
Well, you're up against Sherman Alexie. Do you think that there's a certain kind of star power to these awards that kind of gets away from literary achievement?
Well, Sherman and I have the same editor, and I'm really happy to be sharing this experience with him. I love his book, and I love him, and I don't know if you've ever heard him go around and talk live about what he does and why he does it. He just has an amazing message for kids and for anyone growing up on the res like he did, and I think it's a really important addition to young adult fiction.
Well, thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Okay. So, we are here with Joshua Ferris. How are we doing?
This is a joke, isn't it, Edward? The we thing.
No.
We're doing good.
You and me.
I don't know. How are you feeling? I'm feeling terrific.
Not me, we. How are we feeling?
We are feeling as well as you're feeling. How are you feeling?
We're doing fine. Do we have any chances of winning the award tonight?
You don't.
No, but we do.
I do.
We do.
You do.
Is this the problem, then, when speaking in first-person plural?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think I have a chance.
You don't think you have a chance?
I do.
You do?
Maybe not. Do you?
I don't think I have a chance, but I think you do. And now I'm feeling sad because we're not talking about we. I thought this was like a sort of, you know, kind of nexus point, a sort of meeting we could take. We. No, but seriously, do you think, what does it feel like to have your first novel be nominated right off the bat for a National Book Award?
Well, it's a little disbelieving and humbling and delightful and exciting.
Ah, but does it sort of stop you in your tracks as you're trying to conjure up novel number two? Or?
Absolutely not. You know, any gauntlet that's going to be thrown down is not going to be thrown down by anybody but myself. And the minute that I finished the first book, I threw down the gauntlet for the second. So regardless of how well the first book does or how poorly, I'm going to continue to write.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Well, we will have a good time tonight. Thank you.
We do, Edward. Nice
right,
to see you
thanks.
Again. Take care.
All right, take care.
See you. Ah.
When Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah, we'll give him a hearty welcome then, hurrah, hurrah. Oh, the men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all...
Well, like today's the Matt Segundo Show. Have you heard of this?
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. You, do you have a few minutes?
Sure.
Okay, I'm here with Jonathan Franzen. Jonathan Franzen, why haven't you been my Facebook friend?
You must be referring to the Wall Street Journal article that was written in reference to the 2 weeks that I was experimentally on Facebook and decided it was a stupid waste of time, but not before I ended up in somebody else's potential friend list because I happened to have an email address that was in his list.
Why did you join Facebook in the first place? It was going to cause such trouble. What did you know?
Let's slow down here.
Oh, well, I'm wondering if it was so much trouble to have all these people kind of, you know, quibble about...
No, we're talking... We're not really talking like two human beings here, are we?
Oh, well, I thought we were.
No,
I mean, you're a human being and I'm a human being. No, why are you here at the National Book Awards then?
You sort of sound like a voice in advertising. Can you maybe slow down and we can talk?
Voice
like
in advertising? No, I don't advertise anything. Do you advertise anything?
Just seriously, listen to yourself.
Oh, I'm just being perfectly myself.
No, come on, seriously, listen to yourself.
Oh. Well, you should listen. Well, why don't we both listen to ourselves, and then maybe we can have ourselves a listening party.
You know, I'm really trying to talk to you like a person, and you're not talking back to me like a person. You're talking back like some
no,
sort of...
No, I'm just curious about how you think, but that's okay. It's nice talking to you, Jonathan. Okay, so I'm here with Christopher Hitchens, who is one of the nominees here for the nonfiction category. Chris, Christopher, why do you think this award ceremony has any kind of real bearing upon getting people to think about atheism or getting drawing people to your attentions to your book?
Oh, well, if you'd asked me before I was nominated, I might have said this prize business is overrated. But I don't think that at all now. I think it's a great way of focusing attention. And actually, to be serious, when I went last night to the reading downtown at the New School, where hundreds of people came and stood in line to hear 20 different authors, I was amazed. I was also, I have to say, I say nothing for myself, but I was very impressed by the quality of all the other nominees, by what they read, by their humor and intelligence, and I began to think, wow, this is a big deal. And there is a serious audience, yes. Yeah.
But you have to wear this medal around your neck. I mean, that has to be...
I feel a bit foolish wearing a medal. I feel a bit foolish standing on a red carpet, to tell you the honest truth. But my publishers say I don't look or sound any different. And some of my friends are pleased. And, you know, what does it hurt?
Gotcha.
It'd be very embarrassing to win.
If you win, will you say something very interesting? Or?
No, you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to. If I win, I'll say something about Norman Mailer, I think.
Oh, really? That is...
Who I think was a two-time winner, and I'm still in a stage of being, of mourning Norman and wishing that I'd seen a bit more of him than I did in the last few years. Never had a proper farewell, but it was very important to me, and... I'm already finding it hard to picture things without, strange enough.
Well, then who are the replacements for Mailer and Vonnegut these days?
I knew Kurt, too, a bit.
Yeah.
Well, there aren't any, is the truth of the matter. But I have a feeling that among some of the young people who were reading last night, we're going to get some great stuff. Many of these, it made me feel old, many of these younger ones, I'd never heard their names before. I met them yesterday, a couple of them. They're really first rate. I felt more optimistic about the profession after yesterday than I have in a long, long time.
Really?
I felt a bit younger myself, you know, honestly. It cheered me up.
Wait, you being cheered up?
Yeah, sure. I felt less blasé about the future of writing, future of books, more encouraged by the way that people will, you know, pitch in and mobilize irony and all of these things that one needs. Yes.
Well, thanks so much for your time, Chris, and best of luck.
Pleasure. Thanks for asking.